morning, I'd like for you to turn, if you will, with me, to the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. And I've entitled this, "What is wealth to you?" What is wealth to you? Luke 12, 13 through 21. What is wealth to you? Again, I read from the New King James Version, so bear with me. "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.' Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, thank you again that you continue to minister to us. Help us to understand what it is that we're reading. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to give us understanding this day. Help us to apply this to our life and help us to learn so that we can then share this with other people. So Lord, thank you again for your presence in this place and your leading as we go forth. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said,
amen.
This is an interesting text in that we have a person that has a lot of wealth talking to Jesus, and Jesus sort of says he's the judge, and then he goes on to give the parable. The parable is interesting because every time I read this, I think of a man that I led to the Lord in Illinois and who is now 94. He might have been in his early 80s when I led him to the Lord. And so we've been knowing each other quite a while. But interesting enough, this man had taken and I've done the revival and led him to the Lord. And he invited me to his house. And when I went to his house, he was all excited that the preacher had come to his house. And so what he did was he showed me around the place, just like a lot of you would. You know, you're glad that you have what you have, and you're hospitable, and he's a man that was married but never had children, so he was electronic guy like I am. He was a, you guys remember this kind of guy, a TV repairman? Yeah, that's who he was. Again, he's 94, so you remember the time. But he did a lot of other things too with electronics like that, but he came in and he was the local guy. What happened, though, was when I went to his house, he said, "Well, let me show you around my place." And so we went out. We started out by just going to his sort of a place where he kept all of his fruit and vegetables, where he farmed and he had all that in the garden. And he started out there. And he said, "Hey, let's go over to the next place over here." So we went to the next barn, if you will, and it had a Model T, his daddy's original Model T. But it was restored, okay, and it had a black cover over it, and so he had to take it off. And I actually have pictures of me sitting in it, that was pretty cool. But anyway, so this is a Model T. But not only does he have that in this barn, but he has all woodcrafting type machinery, anything to make woodcrafting. I mean, from a jigsaw to a bandsaw to a planer, you know what I'm talking about, all that types of stuff. So he takes me from that barn to the next barn. Now the next barn is a barn that he had for horses and donkeys in the day when he was farming. He's actually let some younger guy now farm his place. But he took that, and somehow, some way, he found these old barns, and he would break those barns down and bring the wood and store them in his barn. Now, so that instead of being hay or for the horses or the donkeys, it's now full of wood. A barn, big barn, as big as this sanctuary, full of wood. Then he takes me to another barn, and he says, well, now this one is, now this is an 80-year-old guy, you know, that I led to the Lord back then. That had two of everything. Now my wife's going to say something, I know, because I sort of like two of things too. But like he'd have a, let's just say snapper, but a zero-turn ride lawnmower. Well, he had 80 acres, but his home place there was probably just about 5 acres that he had to mow. And I said, well, Sam, why do you have 2 zero-turns? He says, well, in case one breaks down. So that's understandable. Now the other... somebody knows about that, don't they? Yeah. Now, the other thing he had in there that was very peculiar to me for an 80-year-old to have, some of you might have one as well, but a cherry picker. Anybody know what a cherry picker is? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. It elevates you up to do the gutters and stuff like that. We're going to have a cherry picker, but to cut out the tops of trees. And I asked him that. I said, Sam, what do you have a cherry picker in your barn for? He said, well, I might have to cut a tree limb out or have to fix my roof or something like that. And I said, really? So that was the other barn. Now, strangely enough, he had another barn. Now, the other barn had a cement slab, and he liked to, he played a dobro. Anybody know what a dobro is? It's in the folklore type of arena and or the bluegrass arena, and he did bluegrass gospel. And he would travel around, him and his friend, a lady friend, she played the harpsichord, and they would go and they would play at different stages and places, and they would travel around the country in this this. I guess it was a fifth wheel is what they actually called them. And he would carry that around and go to these places. So he had a cement slab and he had this fifth wheel in this barn to protect it from the weather so it would last longer, is what he told me. So, you know, all I think about is old Sam, a single man, doesn't have anybody to leave all this stuff to, but has stuff upon stuff upon stuff. And I asked him this over the years. I've kept up with him. And I said, Sam, I said, who's going to get all this stuff? I'm talking about he has a, I don't know if they're 6 foot tall, but the base, big base is, oh, beautiful, beautiful. And he has one of those. He has all sorts of stuff. I said, Sam, who's going to get all this stuff? He says, well, it won't really matter when I'm gone, but the guy that's taking care of my farm is going to get it all. That's how he's arranged it. I said, well, that's nice of you to do that. But this is the point about the story that I'm telling you about Sam. I've kept up with Sam, and Sam has lost his ability. He actually fell about 3 or 4 months ago, maybe almost 6 months ago now. And when he went into the hospital, he was laid up and he couldn't really use his legs much. And so now Sam's got a clear mind, still thinks well, has no problems with that, but he cannot walk. So he can't drive his car, which he's got multiple cars. You know, he's got a truck, he's got a van, he's got a car. And for each occasion, whatever comes about. The thing is that he cannot use his legs, so he doesn't have the strength to walk. He can only walk about 10 feet, and he just gives out. However, Sam, I called him the other, well, matter of fact, it was yesterday, and we talked, and Sam was worried. I said, Sam, what are you worried about? He says, well, all my stuff at the house. I said, really? I said, Sam, I said, why are you worried about your stuff? He said, well, I don't have control of my legs and I can't go and do what I normally do. And I just don't like it just sitting there because he's always doing. I said, really? I said, Sam, what, you know, if and when we're all appointed to die, I said, if and when you die, what's going to happen to that stuff? I reiterated that point to him again. He said, well, his name is Carter. Carter's going to get it. I said, right. I said, so why are you worried about it? Now, I say all that to say this parable. There's a couple things in this parable that we need to really look at. Is wealth is wealth for our hoarding. Okay, Sam, not only did he keep building barns, he kept filling them with things that he liked. Multiple things sometimes. And I just call it or label it stuff. So is our wealth to be hoarded? Are we building an estate? Are we building, the bumper sticker of probably about 20 years ago, the man that dies with the most toys wins. You remember that? Yeah. Yeah, that was a very popular bumper sticker for a long time. And then you go, okay, where is your wealth? Are you just trying to attain more and more? And are you hoarding it? And is it all for you? I want to say, if that is the case, then I would say that you are self-centered and self-focused. And not just me, the Bible would say that as well. So if you look at that and you're just attaining wealth to hoard it for your own good, then it's self-centeredness. What about for your own personal ease or pleasure? Are we gaining wealth or building more barns or gathering more things to make life easier? I remember one thing a friend of mine asked me, well, how much is enough money for you to make? You know, we all have a goal and we all have a lifestyle that we want to live or that we're accustomed to. And let me tell you, if you're used to making this much and you got to go down here to live on this much, listen, life isn't going to be fun, is it? It's not. It's going to be a big difference. But that's why mission trips are really good for us as Americans to go on, to go outside our country, to realize what other people in the world actually live upon. They live on absolutely nothing. And I know some of you have been outside the country and you know, and I've had conversations with you, and missionaries, they'll come and share with you that these people sometimes have nothing but cardboard houses with dirt floors to live in. And then we complain about the things that we have or what we don't have. So is this for personal ease and gain of our lives to make life an easy street? Is that why we attain wealth? Is that why we work so hard to just make it easy on ourselves? Well, I want to say that that's not a good thought either. If you look at the third thing, and that's in verse 19, if you want to reread that about personal ease. But look at the wealth that cannot satisfy the deepest longings in our heart. If you think about your life, when it all is said and done, let me go back to Sam. Sam's in the nursing home. Won't be going back home, I don't believe. A miracle happens, he could probably go back home. But he can't take care of himself. So he's looking for, can you imagine, the best nursing home possible. He's in one, but he's not satisfied. And so, matter of fact, this next week he's going to be moving to a better one, he said. But then, you know what his next comment was about the better nursing home? He says, I don't know if my money will last. I said, well, Sam, I said, if your money doesn't last, guess what? You might have to go back to one you're in now. I don't think he really much liked that comment. But the issue is, he's got plenty of money. I mean, he won't ever lack for anything. That nursing home's not going to take all of his money. Not that I know nickel per dime what he has. But I do know, I said this to Sam. I said, Sam, if you're that concerned, they might go and start selling off some of your stuff. Because that's how they're going to get money from your stuff. And he said, I said, and remember, who's going to get it anyway? You're not taking it with you. So Sam and I had a little conversation to continue on to say, I said, Sam, remember the day you walked the aisle and you gave your life over to Jesus Christ? I said, what's most important is that you realize that your heart and soul's been given over to the Lord, and that the Lord has promised you that he's going to provide for you in your time of need. And Sam, are you in a time of need? And he said, yes, I am. I said, so what we need to do is ask God to give you the faith and the strength and the courage to face every new day and trust him that he's the one that's going to take care of you. Not the nursing home, not the state, not whatever, but that God's going to take care of you. And so we prayed and he felt much better. Our issue is this in life. What is our and where is our wealth focused on? I'll say this. I have met people in my life that have had pretty much nothing as the world's goods. They lived in a shanty. You know what I'm talking about. Down south, we call them shanties. Some call them shotgun homes. You remember the day. And the thing is that those people had much of nothing, material wealth. Didn't have a fancy car, didn't have fancy clothes. But what they did have is that they had the Lord. They had the Lord in their heart. And they were willing to do for other people. And they were willing to serve the church and praise God for what He has blessed them with. Now, it's not about our wealth again. Where is our wealth? Is our wealth in what we have possessed and what our titles are and what we own today, maybe? Or is our wealth based on the Lord and the Spirit that He gave us to infill us so that we can live for Him and honor and glorify Him? Now, if we think about our wealth today, I would much rather be seen as somebody that is a spiritual human being that knows Jesus Christ as the personal Lord and Savior than gaining all of the wealth that the world has to offer. Because we all know this. It doesn't matter what you have gained. And I just did Rusty's funeral the other day on Wednesday. And I do know that nothing left with Rusty. Nothing. His body was placed in the ground. And he used to sit right back there, and I'd love seeing his smile and his intensity of just listening. The thing is, he didn't take anything with him. Not one thing. Now, the family might have gave him something and put in the you know, his little tomb to be in the tombstone with him, but in that coffin. But that's only a memento from us to them. Do you know that? He couldn't take, he's not going to spend anything, any money he had in the bank. He's not going to take his car. He can't take anything with him. And we can't. So our wealth, where is our wealth? Do you count your wealth as the presence of God or spending time with God in His presence valuable every day? Something I learned during this camp meeting. I mean, everything in the Bible study was picking out different people in the Bible and develop their characteristics and what do they all have in common. Now, what really spoke to me was their wealth and their character came from being in the presence of God. Do you know, nobody, let me add something here. Your education. Do you know when you get your education, you get a degree that nobody can take that away from you? They might be able to tear up your degree or take it off the wall. But you know that education, that time spent and studying and all that knowledge you have, nobody can take it away. Not one person. Same thing with being in the presence of God, spending time with Jesus. Nobody takes that away from you. But what it does add to your life is that people recognize you're different because the presence, when you are in the presence of God, His Spirit fills you up and people recognize there's something different about you. And the thing is that you've invested your life into Jesus, into His presence, being in time of prayer, in His Word, studying the Word of God, learning or having a devotional life, and spending time with Him, the more you do that, the more your wealth is in Him. Now I want to say this. Every time I'm over at camp meeting, 7 o'clock in the morning, I would go to the altar. And there's a big altar, and there was quite a few people that would come from 7 to 8 in the morning praying. Now, I didn't pray that. I mean, I didn't verbally pray that whole time, but I said a prayer. But other people, sort of like a popcorn prayer, and like Dwayne, we put his name down there, Roberts, and put what was going on. I had another friend that I put something down for them, and another friend I put something down on a card, and we would just take and pray over those cards. People would be around the altar, and so for the hour, we just spent praying. Now, you know, that's hard to do, isn't it? We're busy people. We have stuff to do, don't you? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We do. We got a lot to do. But I want to say, if we're investing in our future, and I'm telling you, it's not the stock market, it's not the banks, not anything against banks, I'm just saying, you look at your returns on your CDs, it's not that anymore. It used to be, didn't it? And we used to look at that, and we used to say, man, that was important until 2008, when half of your wealth went away. But now, what I'm saying today is, where is our wealth? Sure, it's great to have things of this world, but I want to challenge us to start praying, if haven't been praying, to invest in our spiritual future so that we will be spiritual people, not just church attenders. Hear what I'm saying. There's a big difference by saying, oh, they're good people because they came to church all the time. Now, if you remember just a few weeks ago, Miss Ann Quiggle, we led her to the Lord downstairs. How many of you thought she was just hunky-dory fine? We all did. I was guilty too. But Ann didn't have that assurance until just the other week. Isn't that strange? They're right in our midst and we didn't know it. How does that happen? I want to say that we're not spiritual enough to ask people, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? We're not bold enough to come out to say, hey, it's important to me because I love you, that I want to ask you that question. And if you don't know Jesus, listen, it just takes this much, just a moment, and we can pray the prayer of faith. And I'm telling you, if I didn't know Rusty personally and asked him point blank, some people might have said, well, I don't know if Rusty was born again. I knew he was born again because I asked him. Now listen, does that mean, and I preached this in this revival this week, that there's a lot of times that we all have struggles, every single one of us. And we can look, and that's why it said, Jesus said, I'm the judge, if you will. We can judge people all you want to, but I'm telling you what, your house better be in order first if you're going to sit in that spot. And there is only one judge, and that is Jesus Christ. Our issue is, are we investing in our wealth of the future, which is our heavenly home, I pray. Because I'll tell you what, if you're not investing in that, then you, if you are the same yesterday, or not yesterday, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and you haven't read your word, you haven't prayed to God, you haven't had a devotional time, and next Sunday you come, have you exercised your faith? Have you worked out in where you're actually putting your wealth and depositing your wealth? Or are you just assuming everything's going to be good or better? Don't assume. I'll tell you what, we all hope everyone comes next Sunday. Rusty isn't with us. I can only tell you, and pretty soon it'll be somebody else. And you know what I'm talking about. We've had quite a few deaths in our community, and it just seems to keep happening. Why? Time doesn't stop. And we only have so much time on this earth, and so I'm asking you today, where is your wealth? Is it really in Jesus? Is it really in wanting to know more about Him? Is it really wanting to serve Him? Or are you just playing the role of Christian? And I'll tell you a great scripture to read. You look at Paul. Paul's a pretty good, authentic person to read about. You go to 1 Corinthians and go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And you look at people that were in the church that were knew Jesus as their Savior, but were not living for the Lord. Just saying. You read chapter 3 and you start looking at what Paul had to deal with. He addressed this issue. I want to ask you today, where is your will. And I pray it's in the Lord.